The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house this day that he has gathered us together this 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The order of service is before you in the bulletin. We'll follow that today. And yes, it looks like a color sheet, but that's for later, not for during the sermon, just so you know. I feel almost like it's a show and tell today. A couple of things still going on. So I didn't forget the IFM food drive, non-perishable items, through the end of this month. So this Sunday, yeah, you want to drop by Wednesday or sometime during the week, please. You saw the table full of stuff back there, so that is part of the fun. Also, for Living Well, the baby bottle fundraiser is beginning. So any change that you drop in here, this all goes to IFM and helps their mission of helping young women, young families care for those in their stead. So if you are so inclined, please, the bottles are on the table on the right on the way out the door. Grab one, and that goes through this coming month. Is that right? I didn't grab the sheet that said, but. Anyway, they will accept funds at any time, of course. So don't feel constrained to 1 month for that. A couple of things also going on. The stained glass window from the old building is out. It is gone. It's not gone. It's just out. They came and they took it out. They patched it all up so that it didn't fall out. So that part of the project is ongoing. We should have concrete coming in the next week or 10 days for the deck and the ramp. So that is moving. There's a lot of motion and activity happening over there, even though it doesn't look like right now. So those things are humming along. LWML Sunday again, 17 October coming up. In our prayers today, in addition to those that we have had, Roger Poff's sister, Jan, is suffering from pneumonia. Gene Poff's brother-in-law, John, has some circulation issues. We remember them in our prayers today. Vacation time. I'm gone for a week, starting Wednesday. So I'll be here Wednesday morning to conduct the Wednesday morning service, and then out, gone, leaving my phone behind. I'll be gone until through the following Wednesday. Pastor Meyer is coming to fill in on the 3rd and also on the 6th. If you're here for that service on the 6th, though, it's going to be at 11 instead of 10:30, because he's got to come up from Rockland after doing the chapel for the academy down there. And then on the 10th of October, Pastor Fro is going to be here because I'll be in Rockland that Sunday. We're just doing a swap because President Lang is coming up, and it's a big call meeting down there for them. So don't think you can stay home because I'm not here. I have my eyes taking attendance. So that was the law part. Now the gospel part. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly, I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Salt is good, Jesus says. And he's right. It seasons, it preserves, it stimulates the appetite. Food that isn't salted tastes bland and boring, as those of you on sodium-restricted diets well know. Sacrifices were salted in the Old Testament, even. Even the grain offerings were salted before they were burned on the altar before the Lord. There's never an explanation for why the sacrifices are salted, just that they are. That's how it is with a lot of the Old Testament. Don't ask, just do it. I am the Lord your God. Everyone will be salted with fire, Jesus says. If it's the unquenchable fires of hell, that's bad news. That's not the sort of fire that you want to be salted with. But if it's the fire of the Holy Spirit, that's good news. Pentecost fire, burning bush fire, gospel fire. But then there's the closed-mindedness of the disciples. Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us. Good job, guys. He didn't have his LCMS lapel pin, so you had to shut him down. He's not one of us, Jesus. And who knows what he was going to try next? He wasn't following us, so we put a stop to that foolishness right away. Oh, don't you ever like to control things? It's the old Adam within you. Because everything has to be black and white. It's got to be neat and tidy. It's got to fit on the chart. There's no room for gray. No room for messiness. The old Adam doesn't like things that don't fit the rules. And you see that whenever the gospel bursts out somewhere, when sinners recognize that they're free from the condemnation of the law, when people held captive to sin and death and the devil are freed to walk in the marvelous light of Christ, to enjoy true life and freedom. And all of a sudden, along come the rule makers with their new list of do's and don'ts. Even though you're free in the gospel, we wouldn't want you to abuse that freedom. You see it in the us and them way of speaking. The good guys and the bad guys, the insiders and the outsiders, the deserving and the undeserving. And when you do that, by way of the old Adam, you always wind up putting yourselves on the winning team. We told him to knock it off, the disciples said, expecting to get a pat on the back by Jesus. But Jesus turns the tables on them and on your old Adam too. Do not stop him. For no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. In other words, don't you get it? It's not you. It's me that's working. Y'all are just the instruments. You're the hands. You're the mouth. The power belongs to me, to my word. Remember that demon you couldn't cast out not long ago? Didn't you learn anything from that? You don't run the show. I do. And if some guy is out there working for me on the fringes, that's my business. not yours. For the one who is not against us is for us. We usually say that the other way around, as a negative. He who is not for us is against us. That's the old Adam thinking, exclusively. But Jesus does things inclusively. He who is not against us is for us. And even a cup of cool water on a hot day for those who belong to Christ is not without its reward. What infuriates Jesus are the stumbling blocks to the faith. The Greek word here, skandalizo, scandalize, is better translated as cause to stumble rather than cause to sin. That is, cause to stumble from the faith. So that whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble in the faith, and Jesus means little ones of the faith, not just children, whoever causes one of these to stumble in the faith, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Don't mess with someone's trust in Jesus. Don't cause someone to doubt their salvation in Christ. Because millstones are not flotation devices, and you're not going to do well with one around your neck. That means that when that control freak old Adam within you perks up, when you start hearing stuff that you may not like or don't necessarily approve of, you need to take a deep breath and be very careful not to cause someone to stumble in their trust in Jesus. Because we take the gift of faith for granted far too often. And it is granted by God's undeserved kindness to you. But are you able to hear how radically serious this matter of faith is? If your hand causes you to stumble in the faith, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out. If what you do with your hands, or where you go with your feet, or what you look at with your eyes causes you to stumble and fall from the faith, it's better to enter the kingdom one-eyed, one-footed, and one-handed instead of going into hell whole. Now, obviously, gouging out your eyes and lopping off your hands and your feet is not going to help your spiritual situation. Amputation doesn't change the heart. But it illustrates how utterly radical faith in Christ is. Faith in Christ is the greatest, the sole treasure of the Christian. There's nothing else in this life quite like it. And this is what brings resurrection to eternal life. And yet you go through life as if it were nothing. You're hardly willing to give up the slightest comfort. You even want to be entertained along the way. Never mind cutting off hands and feet and gouging out eyes. That's not the sort of faith that appeals to your old Adam. But he needs to die. And if you think this is overstated, remember where Jesus is going as he says these words. He's going to the cross. He is going to suffer for the world's sins, for your sin. He's going to have his hands, his feet pierced. He's going to be blinded in the darkness of death itself. And he's going there to save you, to prepare a place for you to take that stumbling carcass of yours through death and into life, to win for you a salvation that your hands and your feet and your eyes can never imagine and can never accomplish themselves. Your life, your forgiveness, your salvation, your faith cost Jesus his own life on his cross. And that's why he's so protective against anyone who would cause you to stumble. That's why he's so radical about your faith. Losing a hand, losing a foot, losing an eye, it's nothing compared to gaining Christ and his salvation. And that faith in Christ is what makes you salty. It's what seasons and preserves you. It's what makes the offering of your bodies as living sacrifices acceptable to God. Faith in Christ makes you the salt of the earth, seasoning everything with the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So salty disciples in a salty church is what the Lord is making by his Spirit as he calls you, gathers you, teaches you, sanctifies you in Jesus. In this bland and tasteless world out there, always searching for something more and new, Christ Jesus scatters you to be salt, to season the world with his death and resurrection and forgiveness. And whether it's casting out demons in his name or simply carrying a cup of cold water to a thirsty fellow Christian, it is all the seasoning work of Jesus. Have salt in yourselves. Have faith in Jesus. Trust Jesus for your forgiveness, for your life, for your salvation. Treasure that gift like no other. It is literally to die for. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.